You know, there's an account in the Bible where Paul writes to a young pastor called Timothy, and he says, Timothy, tell your people not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us all things to enjoy. You know, generosity is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself a little bit less and others a little bit more. God gives us all things to enjoy. Everything around us is to be enjoyed, not to the point where it distracts us from our purpose or distorts the values of God, but to be enjoyed. Some of the saddest things I've seen as a believer being saved for a long time is that people have lost their joy. They're on their journey, but they're joyless. And you know, if I was the enemy, I think of all the things I'd steal first would be somebody's joy. Because without joy, it's hard to love, it's hard to have faith, it's hard to believe. Joy is such an important thing in our lives, not just an emotion, but a spiritual force. And I think our journey as believers should not be endured, it should be enjoyed. And if we can keep that in place, then our life changes. Because with joy, it's not about, oh, what do you want me to do now? It's how can I get involved? Oh, they're asking me to give again, but how much can I give? Joy changes our perspective on our journey. To be a believer is supposed to be an exciting way of life. And if you're bored being a Christian, really, it's your own fault. God has given us a journey to be on. Don't lose your joy. Go back to that first love of when you met Jesus. And when you live in that place of joy, you see the wonder and the purpose of God daily, day after day. Paul not only spoke about not trusting in uncertain riches, but in the living God. He goes on to remind them that we're supposed to be rich in good works, to do good. And I think that's a fundamental value of Christianity, is that it's not just about ourselves, it's about making a difference in somebody else's life. You'll notice we're all incredibly different. And that's not an accident, that's a plan of God, that you and I bring our part to the table, because when the body comes together with all its parts, it's powerful, strong, and can make an incredible difference. So a part of our journey as a believer is to make sure we're not just thinking about ourselves, but we're doing good. We're loving other people, helping people go through their journey as well. So let's make sure that we don't pull back from that, that while we have breath in our lungs, we have got our hands on somebody else's life. So not does only Paul tell Timothy to remind them to do good, but he says make sure they're ready to give. I can't underestimate the power of generosity. What it does in the spiritual realm is unbelievable. Every time you bring something and place it in the hands of God, something supernatural takes place. The Bible speaks about it as a spiritual weapon. The Bible says when we bring our tithe and our offering, He will rebuke the devourer on our behalf. He talks about that if we bring it, that creates a due season of blessing coming back our way. So to reap, you've always got to sow first, but in that sowing, there's an incredible reaping. I love it that when we give unto God, it never leaves our life. It just leaves our present, ends up in our future, multiplied, and comes back to us. But on the way through, it changes a whole lot of lives. People get saved. People get healed. People get set free. Generosity is the very heart of God. Psalms says, God upholds us by His generous spirit. Let's make sure that we're upholding others by our generous spirit. And the last thing Paul reminds Timothy is to tell his church they must be willing to share. Not in the sense of giving, but in the sense of sharing the load, carrying the weight, undergirding the vision of what's going on. That it's not the pastor's church, it's not that church, it's actually my church. And when we grow in like that, when we come together with a common unity and a common purpose, God blesses the potential and the power and the possibility of where you are heading. So let's be people that don't just stick to the side. Let's people that decide, you know what, we're in, whatever it takes. In that place, we are now sharing the weight of the vision of God. And really, what we want to see is our world unmistakably influenced for good and for God. Well, today we're going to speak to the never-ending word. And if you're a believer, a Christian, a follower of Jesus, that word is generosity. And I want to speak to the power of generosity. I actually call today's message Generosity, the Pathway to Influence. So let's start by looking at the book of Mark, one of my favorite books, the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 17. And it says this, "And these signs will follow those who believe." I find that fascinating because there's such a powerful meaning in that scripture at so many different levels. See, whatever you believe, the signs of that believing follow you. I don't know what you say about marriage is as important as what you believe about marriage, because what you believe, the signs of that believing will follow you. I can tell you what you believe about money, not by what you say, but by the signs around you. I can tell you what you believe about your church life or your Christian life, not by what you say, but by the signs that are around you. In other words, whatever we believe, that the signs of that believing follow us. As a matter of fact, in life, you don't get what you want. You get what you believe. And that's an important thing to realize. So what's going to happen in our world is that our believing's going to change. And as our believing change, our thinking change, our attitudes change, and our outer world starts to change. Right believing, right signs. So today I want to speak about generosity believing, because generosity is the pathway to influence, breakthrough, and blessing. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, he gave. The very point of that is that he gave something. God gave his only begotten son. Incredible generosity. And if you look at the results of it, it's you and I finding salvation. Our lives should be a reflection of God's ways. A lifestyle of intentional, purposeful giving. Not just a mad emotional moment of compassion, though that's wonderful, but a lifestyle of generosity. It's the never-ending word in the Christian walk. God is generous to the core. He has and he is a generous spirit. Did you realize we exist and continue to exist only because of one reason? And it's mentioned in Psalm 51, verse 12. It says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." The reason that the world stays in place, the reason that physics happen, is because of the generosity of God. You'll notice that God is not life limited, he's life eternal. He's not life miserable, he's life abundant. He's not El Cheapo, he's El Shaddai. I find it fascinating that when Jesus starts to follow his calling, that the first miracle he does is not a healing miracle. It's not a deliverance miracle. It's actually a generosity miracle. So here Jesus is. He's been on the earth 30-something years now, and now he's about to outwork the call of God. So he's about to reveal the very heart of God to humankind. And the first thing he picks to reveal about God is not his saving power, not his healing power, but his generosity power. If you know the account, Jesus goes to a friend's wedding, and they ran out of wine near the end of the wedding, which is quite a common occurrence. And they asked asked Jesus's mother, Mary, "What can you do?" And she said, "Just do what Jesus says." And at that moment, Jesus gets bottles of water and he speaks to them and turns them into wine. Not average wine, but really good wine. So here's Jesus' first miracle, and it's a miracle of generosity. And again, most weddings bring out the good wine at the beginning, and then after people have had a few, they don't realize the wines get worse and worse and worse. But here we leave, Jesus leaves the best wine till last. So I don't know what happens. I have this feeling that at the end of the day, the bride and the groom got all the best wine at the end and sold it all and bought their first house. But again, that's only rumor. But the point is that Jesus shows the world that God's heart is generosity. Now, much later in the Bible, you read the account of Jesus feeding 5,000 people. And then at the end of that, there's still 12 basket loads of full of food left. He can't help himself. He's a God of more than enough. He's generous to the core. I believe great Christianity is characterized by great generosity. It's our way to our pathway to blessing, to increase, to breakthrough. The book of Isaiah, chapter 32, verse 8, says this: "But a generous man devises generous things, and by his generosity he shall stand." A generous man devises, considers, thinks about how he can be generous. And the result of that generosity is that he will be able to stand or last the distance or come out better on the other end of a trial or a tribulation. What generous plans are you devising? I've got a very good friend who lives in Sydney, and he's a business guy, and his dream was always to be able to give his church a $1 million check. just one lump sum, $1 million. And it was only a little while ago that that dream came to pass, that he was able to give his church $1 million. Of course, I would like him to move to my church and do the same for us. But he lives in Sydney, but I'm sure he'll stay where he is. But he had a dream. He was devising generous plans. It wasn't a moment of, oh, whatever. It was like he's thought this through. Not an emotional flurry of feelings, but an intentional, purposeful lifestyle of generosity. You know, whether it be a smile, whether it be encouragement or even a helping hand, maybe serving in the purposes of God, or giving of our finances, it should be devised, considered, thought about, because generosity is the believer's lifestyle. It's an attitude of how can I make a difference? How can I be a blessing? And I've noticed this. There's always an opportunity if you're looking for it. There's always a place, a person, a cause that we can be generous to. The question is, are we ready? Have we planned our life around the point of having an opportunity to do good? I carry extra money in my wallet, not to be spent on myself, but that I can be a blessing to somebody else. That's the reason it's there. It's very hard to be a blessing with just a debit card or a credit card. You're not going to go, hey, here's my card, the PIN number is 76. Hey, you're not going to do that. So I've thought about it. I want to make sure that I'm in position to be generous where I can. So I think like that. I consider the point of being generous. I remember a time where I met a family coming through the church doors a few years back, and the little boy, maybe 4 or 5 at the time, and he lost a tooth, and he was telling me about that that tonight the tooth fairy is going to give him $2, and I'm smiling and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I'm not going to let any tooth fairy outdo me in generosity. So I looked at him and I said, I tell you what. I'll give you $20 for your tooth. And he looked at me with his big gummy smile, handed over the tooth, and I gave him $20. I want to tell you, one of the best $20 I've ever spent. I got the greatest award ever any person could ever get. He went home and renamed his teddy bear to Pastor Mark. What a reward. What a higher accolade can you get in life? And he became one of my best disciples. So for $20, there it was. It was just blessed him, blessed his family. And he doesn't give a rip about tooth fairies anymore. They're stingy, tight. He knows church is where the blessing is. Well, actually, when I come to think of it, it cost me a lot more than $20 because the word got out. And I had a lineup of kids with their teeth. So I think it cost me about $400 in the end. And I have a jar full of teeth in my office. The point is, are you considering how you can be generous? It's God's way of doing life. Generous people, they pray generously. They worship generously. They encourage generosity. Generosity is not just an action, it's an attitude. It covers the way we do life. It's not just something we do, it's somebody we become. A generous crowd responds to great preaching, and I can't wait to be in front of a generous crowd in the near future. So today I want to look at the two major characteristics of a generous spirit. The first thing I want to speak to is this, is that a generous spirit sees possibility. It sees it. It's obvious to them. See, generous people are optimists. They're faith people. They see possibility and new beginnings where others see impossibility and end. They're not discouraged by setbacks or problems. They see them not as walls, but as stepping stones into their future. I remember Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister of England, who was famous for so many great speeches from the never, 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 no, never give up. But he said this, he said, you make a living by what you get, he says, but you make a life by what you give. There's a context of generosity sets things in motion. See, generous people have the ability to rejoice in what they do have, rather than complain about what they don't have. And I'll tell you why they do that, is because a generous spirit knows that whatever they have is enough to get them started to the next level. They're not complaining about what they don't have, what they should have been, could have been. They're saying, you know what? I have enough. Whatever you have today is enough if you use it wisely to take you into a better and brighter season. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called by us by glory and virtue. You'll notice that the scripture talks about that God has given us all things, not going to. He has given everything we need that pertains to life and godliness already. So don't keep waiting for something to turn up. I know this about God. As soon as you say, God, I need or I want or can we do, he will always say, what have you got in your hand? What would you put in place? What would you step out on so he can step up? Generous people see what they have and they know. If sown, if invested into God's purposes, that they will see a result of increase and breakthrough. It's what you keep buried. It's the talent, the gift you have, the finances that you have that you don't do anything with that loses value and ends up with no power. See, in my hands, my money is ordinary, but in God's hands, it becomes extraordinary. Whatever I have placed under his purposes and plans will grow stronger and bigger and better. So a generous spirit is always looking for God opportunities to give into. He is looking for possibility. You know what I've noticed about life is that you see what you look for. You see what you look for. And you look for what's important to you. For example, if you like coffee, you will see coffee shops. Ladies, if you like dresses, you will see dress shops. You see what you're looking for. You look for what's important to you. I remember I like Japanese food. I was with a friend in New Zealand, a pastor there, and I was speaking at his church. And as we're driving out after service, he said, where would you like to go to lunch? And I said, man, Japanese food would be great. And he said, I don't know where a Japanese restaurant is. Well, I looked around as we left the church premise, and right across the road, there was a Japanese restaurant. He said, I've been here for 10 years and I've never seen that restaurant. Why? Because you only see what you look for and you only look for what's important to you. So there's got to be a reassessment of what's important to us. And we should really say, you know what? What's important to us should be what's important to God. And God sees generosity as really important. So generous people believe. They look, they see, they find opportunity. They see possibility. For the Bible declares, for with God, nothing. With God, nothing is impossible. The second part of generosity is a generous spirit sees beyond itself. It sees others. It sees the future. It's because of this that we, the generous, invest into what God's got. Generous people know that they give what they give is never lost. It just leaves their present, ends up in their future multiplied, and on the way through, it changes somebody else's life. What a perfect, perfect plan. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10 illustrates this principle that God has for us. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. Now, it's him, God, who supplies both. Let him supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You notice you've got to sow before you see increase. And I find interesting here that the scripture is divided up into two parts. There's bread and seed, two components. And I know this about life. Everything in life has two components. It has a bread component and a seed component. As a matter of fact, you and I don't own anything. We get to live on the planet. We get to breathe in God's oxygen. We're here for a season. You can earn as much money as you want. You can't take it with you. So he says there are parts to everything that are seed and bread. And what that means is that the bread component of life, our gifts and talents, our time, our treasure is for us. God doesn't want us to have, he's not trying to get everything off us so we have nothing left. He says, no, there's bread. It's yours to eat. You bring your family up. You live in a house. You do all the things you need to do to get by life. But there is a seed component. And the seed component is not meant to be eaten. It's meant to be sown and invested, because the bread allows you to live today, but it's the seed sown that allows you to live tomorrow. So people that understand generosity see the power of sowing, because it doesn't affect their now as much as it does their future. So it's important. We see this as a win-win situation. God doesn't ask for our bread. He just says, please, sow your seed. Our responsibility as a believer is to invest now for the sake of the future into the next generation. I think of being in ministry 30-something years now, being a believer a little bit longer than that, how sad it would be that we didn't think of the future generations and everything that we'd worked for, everything we'd prayed for, everything we'd sweated for and bled for went into nothing. We've got to have a generational perspective. As a matter of fact, I believe today's generation should be setting up the next generation for an incredible win. I remember arriving at City Point 20 years ago, and it wasn't called City Point then. It was Mansfield Christian Outreach Center. It was a big, empty building, and one of the things that fascinated me was that they didn't even have the building air-conditioned. And I remember talking to the people there that we need to air-condition this building, not for you, not for the believers, you're already here, but for those that aren't here, we need to make it a pleasant experience. I mean, in the middle of summer, I told them, I said, you're not going to invite your friends because it's so hot in here that during the service you'll turn around and they'll just be a blob on the seat next to you with their eyes bugging out. You're not going to invite them because it's too hot. So again, it's this concept. We need to look into the future and see our best way forward. We gave out church bulletins then, and people thought it was for information, but it wasn't. They used them as fans during the service. It was so hot. So I said, you know what we've got to do? We've got to get generous here. We've got to raise the money to put in air conditioning in this building so we can invite our friends and neighbors and know that they're going to have a pleasant experience. And as I shared that vision, that mission, a man came and saw me straight afterwards, and I'd only been here a little while, and I didn't know him. And he said, I heard what you said, and it's right, he said. God has got me seasoned for this moment that I'm able to invest into the future of this great church. And he said, I'd like to give you the over $600,000 at the time to put air conditioning into the building. And I was a little naive. I said, well, thanks for being a part of it. He said, no, I want to give you the whole lot. And who knows? That much money, you can go on a nice holiday. You can buy a nice house. But a generous people see beyond themselves. They see possibility in the future. And the truth is, he's no poorer, but others are blessed. The future is better because of our generosity. His kingdom advances generationally. That's the plan of God. Our ceilings now should be our next generation's floors. And we need to do what it takes to strengthen the people of today and tomorrow in the purpose of God. For the kingdom advances from one generation to the next to the next. Generous people see the need to invest now for a much glorious future. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 speaks to this in context of moving on, doing our part, and then passing the baton. It says this, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that has been set before us. There's this picture of like a heavenly stadium. And the crowds are there of people that have been before us. They've run their race. They've passed the baton to our generation. And it's got to be in that same heart that we realize that a part of our being here is to pass the baton to the next generation ahead. Getting stronger one generation to the next is the very plan of God. So what does a generous spirit see? It sees possibility. It sees opportunity. It sees others. It sees beyond itself. They that understand this devise generous plans on how to be generous. I look at humanity, and when things go wrong, people are incredibly generous. Not even, I mean, just regular people, not even people that go to church, that if there's a fire or a bushfire or a disaster, they're very generous. But I tell you what, no one is giving to advance the kingdom of God except the church. We're the only ones that have the opportunity and the responsibility to invest in bringing the gospel of Jesus to the generation now and the generation beyond. God upholds us by his generous spirit. I believe we can uphold others by our generous spirit. Today, let's consider the possibility that God is for us, and if he be for us, who can stand against us? Let's suggest that today as we give, as we bring that tithe, that offering, as we live a lifestyle of generosity, that the Bible is true and God will do what he said he would do. I believe the Bible is absolutely correct. Today, God is a God of generosity. He is so generous. he is so generous that it doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been. He's not angry. He's not mad at you. His generosity opens his heart back up and says, you know what? I'll forgive you of every sin, every failure, every mistake, and remember them never again. Today, God puts his generosity towards you. The Bible declares that if we believe that Jesus died and he rose again from the dead, we shall be saved. So today, I'm believing for you that you would believe upon him today. His generosity is there. He's not angry. He's not mad. He wants to know you in a greater measure. He wants you to have eternal life and abundant life. So right where you're standing or seated today, you could pray a prayer and believe upon God that will not just change your now, it will change your future for eons to come. Hey, today, God is generous. Let's be generous as well. Well, God bless. I pray that today's message has spoken to your heart. We have a mission, a vision. We are called by God to unmistakably influence our world for good and for God. And we'd love you to be a part of that. And I know you're considering it right now. For those that made that decision first time or coming back to Jesus, we're so excited for every one of you. God bless. See you next time.